Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, if you are sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 every year for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines. Heck, you can headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family and you want your name in the shout-outs like our buddy Harold in St. Louis, how you doing, Harold? Another great week? Make sure you jump over to www.patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today to be a contributing member. And for the rest of the month, anybody who contributes $25 this month will be a co-host of mine on one of our live episodes, and our $10 a month contributors get entered into a drawing to do the same. So, welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. It is a big night. We got lots to talk about. Before I go any further, I do want to put this out there from my good buddy Dino Santa over with the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance. Next Saturday night is a big night for them. It is their 35th anniversary show. If you have never been to one of their shows, and if you are in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, Quakertown Farmers Market, 6:30, get there, bell time, and they should have an amazing, amazing show lined up for everybody. Check that out if you get the opportunity. Unfortunately, a severe injury to their world champion, a gentleman by the name of Jack Molson, big name in the southeastern Pennsylvania independent wrestling territory, and so they will crown a new world champion for the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance at their 38th anniversary show between Ken Andrews and Leo Sweet. Should be a great match. Other stars and surprises I expect to be there, and one of the things that will be there that I think is going to be very emotional, a great relationship between Dino Santa and Bruno Sammartino, so I expect them to do something very special in light of the passing of Bruno, which we will get into a little later in the show. If you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, you've never tuned in before, go to our homepage, www.frowrestling.com, where you can check out every topic that we're going to discuss in a podcast show. And if you happen to be here when we go live, the beautiful thing about it, like my buddy John the Sports Guy in Hatfield, you can tune in live and I can see your comments right on my screen. He is tonight at a Susquehanna Wrestling Organization show out in Seven Valleys, Pennsylvania. They are almost like a sister promotion to the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance. Some shared talent, some unique talent. Another company just puts on some really amazing shows if you ever get a chance. That's more of a central Pennsylvania thing. Go for it. They are a great company, owned by a gentleman named who portrays the character Wolfman, who is a great guy. He's been doing it for a very long time. Check out those shows if you get the chance. If you find that while you're going through the show, you want to call in, you want to get involved right away, there's a chat feature right through ForWrestling.com or going to Spreaker or any of the other social media outlets that you can pick up the podcast, and you can get your comments directly into me like John did just now. Let me know that he's tuning in. John, love that guy. He's here for every single episode. He is the man. If you want to get your comments in but you miss the live show, that is okay. Call into the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160 where you can give us your questions, your comments, anything you want us to discuss, you can put into that. It is a talk to text service. So you give us the questions, it converts it into a text message and shoots it right to me so I can address it. Make sure you put your name with your comments so I can give you the kudos and shout out for getting involved in the show. It's very important. I want to give you guys credit. So tonight's show, we're kind of jam-packed. It's been a long week, and I did not get you guys a midweek show. I like to try to get you something like Wednesday nights, but it's been a crazy couple weeks. For those who know me personally, I'm a doctoral student, getting ready for that dissertation very soon, and just been working my tail off. So, I got to get back to my podcast people, though. You guys are awesome. So, tonight, topics of discussion. First off, before I get into like the news feed that I have on the Fro Wrestling Podcast, I want to address the Superstar Shakeup results. Okay, if you go to ForWrestling.com right now, I have the listing of which talents are new to Raw and new to SmackDown. Now, I have to say, I have seen the debate all week long about which brand got the better end of the deal. I understand Samoa Joe going to SmackDown and now being on the same show as AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, people like that. I know that presents some really, and Daniel Bryan for that matter, presents some really amazing opportunities for killer matches. I get it. But one guy, just this is just my opinion, You can disagree, it's fine. But one guy does not make it a landslide victory for SmackDown. Now, The Miz, yes, he carried Raw for the better part of the last year. I think he's a good get for SmackDown. And Jeff Hardy bringing the United States Championship back over to SmackDown after the shakeup on Raw is a good play. I actually thought they were going to move Seth Rollins, which I think would have been a great idea. Because can you imagine Seth Rollins being over there with Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura? I think that's as big, if not a bigger opportunity. And the reason I say that is Samoa Joe, for all he is, and I love Samoa Joe, he is one of my favorite wrestlers in the business, but he has an injury history since arriving in WWE. That's something you have to concern yourself with. If Joe goes down to injury again, who's going to step up? Kevin Owens is gone. Sami Zayn is gone. You have Jeff Hardy, been there, done that. And then you have the guys who've already been on the brand. Now, yes, you have some returning stars and things of that nature, but it's just not the same draw power as Samoa Joe or Seth Rollins. If I were WWE, when you look at the way the cards shook out and who went where and how things were cross-branded, I would have moved Seth Rollins over there. One, it gets him away from Raw, where Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns are still on the show, and even though they're not going the direction of a Shield reunion again anytime soon, at least that's what it sounds like from comments from Seth earlier this week, it doesn't mean that people won't think about it every time they see the superstars when they're all healthy. You know, then that's a knock on Dean Ambrose a little bit because he's been out so long, but, you know, serious injury. So the idea for me would be I'd move him to SmackDown so you quell that sea of fans who want to see that. I would love to see Seth Rollins in a world championship picture. I don't think you'll see that on Raw right now. I would love to see him and AJ Styles. I would love to see he and Nakamura. I would love to see he and Daniel Bryan. I would love to see he and almost anybody on SmackDown. I've already seen him and Samoa Joe. I think Joe is a big enough star, both in personality and in body size, that he lays a legitimate threat to people like Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns, people who are on the brand, and Bobby Lashley, who's now on the brand. So, going down the Raw talent, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin, Breezango, Jinder Mahal, The Riot Squad, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Natalya, Zack Ryder, Mojo Rawley, Mike Kanellis, Chad Gable, Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre, and The Ascension, all going to Raw. And those are all good gets for Raw. Don't get me wrong. I love the Dolph Ziggler pairing with Drew McIntyre. I think that's well needed. And it's a kick in the pants to the tag team division, especially when you lose a few tag teams going over to SmackDown. Now, on the SmackDown side of things, The Miz, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, Sanity, Big Cass, Asuka, Gallows and Anderson, Sheamus and Cesaro, R-Truth, Zelina Vega and Andrade, Cien Almas, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. It's not a bad cache of people. The biggest thing I think is the real shakeup is the change to the tag team divisions on both brands. Raw seems to be cultivating some new tag teams, whereas SmackDown seems to have brought in all the established tag teams. And I actually kind of like the thing that Breezango got a nice clean pinfall victory over Sheamus and Cesaro on their way out to go to SmackDown. I don't think you could possibly present Breezango as a legitimate threat to the tag titles right now, but if you did, I wouldn't complain about it. Lots of words about Baron Corbin being strategically positioned by Vince McMahon to be a major player on Raw. I think he is the reason AJ Styles stayed on SmackDown. I think Vince sees Baron Corbin being a huge, huge draw, possibly a challenger for Roman Reigns for the World Championship somewhere shortly down the line. With Brock Lesnar signing his new contract, which this week it was announced that he's getting paid upwards of around $631,000 per pay-per-view appearance, $125,000 per minor appearance. And another fee, I was like $60,000, something like that, for every time they use his name in WWE programming. That's a ridiculous contract. Plus, he gets 6% of merchandise sales. He's making an obscene amount of money, but because his contract is structured the way it is, they can kind of pay him per appearance, bring him in whenever they need to. And the beautiful thing about that is he's not technically going to be an active WWE superstar, so he can go out and do his mixed martial arts and still pop back into WWE, and they don't have to go through all the craziness of the negotiations like Triple H was talking about a few weeks ago. I'm not thrilled to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on the same brand. Again, they need to be split up. Since they debuted in WWE, they have been stuck together and squashed together no matter where they go. Whether it was NXT, coming to Raw the first time, going to SmackDown, now coming back to Raw, they need a break. We've seen it, been there, done that. Sami Zayn should have stayed on SmackDown where he could have had some incredibly motivating matches with people like Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, etc., etc., etc. Other reactions. One, I hope that some people get an opportunity to kickstart their careers. I did forget to put No Way Jose over there on the Raw list. I apologize. I couldn't care less about that addition. It's like adding Adam Rose to your roster, and it really, if they push that star, Adam Rose should be suing for copyright infringement, because that is a direct ripoff of his character. What I find myself doing, though, which I find kind of is kind of weird, when you see No Way Jose come out, I start looking at all the people who are parading around the ring with him, because if you remember when Adam Rose did it, people like Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, all these really well-established stars now were the people following him out to the ring when Adam Rose was a thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious what the next level of people coming to the ring are going to be that are following No Way Jose around the ring. I'm hoping that someone like Mike Kanellis can re-establish himself. Mojo Rawley, maybe get his feet going. Chad Gable, I don't like him being on the same brand where his former tag team partner, Kurt Angle's wonderful son, Jason Jordan, will eventually return to. I think some people forget that Jason Jordan's even part of the equation. Probably not until a little bit later in the year. But when he comes back, you know there's going to be some crosstalk about the American Alpha reunion or something of that nature. And I think Chad Gable is almost like a raw version of HBK in the ring. And I really wanted to see him cultivated on SmackDown, not here on Raw. I love that they're separated him from the tag team world. That's all he's done since he arrived. But now, hopefully he'll get an opportunity to break out a little bit before Jason Jordan makes his return to the company. Otherwise, Bobby Roode, I think, is kind of a shock to me here going to Raw, especially as a babyface. I think he'd be better off as a heel. Jinder Mahal getting squashed for the U.S. title opening night did nothing to help his character out. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. On SmackDown, I thought they did a good job. I'm a little surprised Nikki Cross not coming up with Sanity. I think that's kind of a miss. I know they're talking about using her in NXT for a women's championship run, or at least a feud with Shayna Baszler. I get that, but Sanity, she's a founding member. It just doesn't seem right if she's not a part of the program. I think it's such a unique presentation. Hopefully Gallows and Anderson can get back on their feet. I think they've been underused completely. Little surprised to see Andrade Cien Almas go in there already. I think he should have had a return program for his championship in NXT. I felt like they rushed his championship win, and then they rushed his championship loss, and then they moved him right up to the main roster. That's kind of surprising to me. But all in all, I thought the Superstar Shakeup was relatively well done. Moving on, though. Other things in the world of professional wrestling. First off, Eli Drake is in the news this week because his contract is getting set to expire very shortly with Impact Wrestling, and they have no ink on paper for an extension. That's a concern because Eli Drake is one of their premier talents. He's somebody WWE, if they were smart, if his contract does expire, they swoop in and snag up. Now, he was in WWE developmental before. There was a knock on his ability to cut promos and some of his in-ring work, but anybody who watches Impact Wrestling should know Eli Drake has really become a complete package. He can talk. He can move in the ring. He can do the compelling storylines. He can sell. He can do everything you want a great heel to do. I think WWE acquiring Eli Drake would be an absolute coup, and it would be a horrible thing for Impact Wrestling. They need to get on top of re-signing wrestlers that they appreciate. They cannot keep this business model going where they just keep allowing talent to leave. Bobby Lashley is going to be a huge star for WWE. EC3 is going to be a huge star. You pay those stars. And if you don't have the money to run your promotion like a real promotion, get out of the business. Sell your assets to somebody who's actually going to promote Impact Wrestling the way it used to be. If you are going to pay your talent, then get on board and start signing these guys. Somebody else that needs to be signed is Angelico. Angelico leaves Lucha Underground right just ahead of Lucha Underground's fourth season, getting ready to debut in June. Angelico has gone, as well as, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name. How do I do that? Jack Evans. Also leaving Lucha Underground. Now, the thing is, Jack Evans doesn't have as big a market for his services, but Angelico does. He is on WWE's radar. They were interested in him after season one of Lucha Underground. I think he'd be a fantastic addition. And it's something that if they're really, truly trying to push this 205 Live brand, which it looks to me Like, the 205 Live brand is almost going to be a combination of the UK brand, and that is going to be the presentation we get for the United Kingdom brand. Somebody like Angelico is a great get if WWE pursues him. I'm sure he has some form of a no-compete clause for a duration of time after his episodes on Lucha Underground have aired. Hopefully that clears up quickly and he can sign somewhere, because he is an incredible talent. Right now, touring on the indies until that frees himself up. By the way, if anybody didn't check it out, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla had their night one of their big show last night. You need to check out PWG. They put on amazing stuff, but last night, the big thing about it was the tag team championship was contested. Three teams that just tore the house down, and all the respect in the world to the Young Bucks who were in the match. They did not pick up the win. They did not win a tag team championship. But the thing is, the Young Bucks seem to be able to go anywhere and draw. They draw numbers. They get a ton of respect. And this all-in event where they're trying to fill a 10,000-seat arena, the more and more over the Young Bucks get, they are, in my opinion, as much the main event of every Ring of Honor, New Japan, or now PWG, or anywhere else show that they're on, as people like Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes. They are just as established as main eventers at this point. So hopefully you get a chance to check out the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show. It was phenomenal, especially that tag team main event for the championship, which I'm not going to spoil the winner in case you didn't see it. Tune into Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's channel where you can get their access to their programs on their website. Early betting odds for the Greatest Royal Rumble. That is the big topic for this episode. And so here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of the card. There's a lot of controversy going on when it comes to whether or not you were going to see the casket match with The Undertaker versus Rusev, or if it was going to be something a little different, if you were going to see Chris Jericho. Then they switched it back to Rusev. So right now, the casket match, The Undertaker versus Rusev, The Undertaker is a minus 700 favorite. For those who don't know what that means, it means you got to drop $700 in bet money to win 100. Rusev a plus 400. So heavy underdog. We all knew The Undertaker's going to walk out with this. I would not be surprised. Chris Jericho actually alluded to this in an interview earlier this week, that he wouldn't be surprised if he got put into the match at the last minute just because of all the trolling Rusev has been doing to him on Twitter about being knocked out of the match. John Cena will be on the show taking on Triple H. I'm a little surprised that John Cena is the heavy favorite. Not that he shouldn't be, but they've buried him with just about everybody. So I want to go through the mental process here. John Cena has lost since beating Baron Corbin. He's lost to Nakamura. He's lost at the Royal Rumble. He's lost at the Elimination Chamber. He's lost at Fastlane. He's lost at WrestleMania. Total squash job to The Undertaker. And now you're going to go in and face Triple H, who is in what Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer called the best match at WrestleMania this year. 4.5 stars for the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle match. Clearly, that means Triple H can go in the ring. So you're going to put John Cena as a minus 225 favorite over Triple H, who's a plus 163. That almost is insulting to Triple H. No offense to John Cena. I know he's been the face of the company for, like, forever. But Triple H has actually contributed more meaningful storylines in the last 2 years than John Cena has. And Triple H has actually had left it out there, the opportunity for other storylines going forward. We still haven't seen Triple H and Braun Strowman, and that was teased way back at last year's Survivor Series. No one exactly is going to be doing cartwheels to see John Cena versus Braun Strowman. We kind of saw a little bit of that in the beginning of the year, and he's just not the same draw that he used to be. He never wins. He's like the Dolph Ziggler of Raw. I can't really say that now because Dolph Ziggler's on Raw, but I suspect Dolph Ziggler's going to start winning as a tag team with Drew McIntyre. John Cena is probably going to continue to lose. He's going to be going away to film some more movies. Triple H should be the one who's put over here. Unfortunately, that's not what the betting odds say. By the way, I did say in the description of this episode that I would be giving out my predictions. Obviously, I agree The Undertaker is going to win the casket match. Hands down, going away, not even a close competition. John Cena, he probably will beat Triple H. Not because he should, but because Triple H is trying to prove that he'll put people over. And John Cena needs a win over somebody. And if he beats Triple H, he's not beating a regular everyday member of the Raw roster. So I suppose in some way that's a feasible plan. I don't like it, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good plan. As far as the other matches on the card, remember, no women's matches on the card. The Universal Championship will be defended. Steel cage match. Brock Lesnar, the champion, is the plus 400 underdog to Roman Reigns, who's a minus 700. Now, with the news this week that the Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar dream match that our last episode was focused on may now be off the table, that makes this a big lean to Roman Reigns. My personal opinion, they're missing the boat on Brock and Lashley. I know they don't want to have two big guys in there that may not, you know, their wrestling styles may not go together very well and put together a cohesive match. That was the problem with when Hulk Hogan wrestled the Warrior in WCW. Two big guys who just didn't have enough chemistry. I think Brock and Lashley could do that, though. They could bring it out of each other. They could really have a great match. And I think WWE is sleeping. But the thought process is Brock Lesnar is not long for WWE, at least doesn't seem like it at this point. They want to get two clean losses out of Brock Lesnar before he leaves. One being to Roman Reigns dropping the Universal Championship, and another one potentially being to Braun Strowman as Brock leaves the company. I get it. That's how you use Brock Lesnar as a launching pad for Braun Strowman. But let's be honest, people. Brock Lesnar doesn't need to do a darn thing. Braun Strowman is already over. If you handed him the Universal Championship tomorrow, nobody would complain about it because he's earned it. Roman Reigns has too. I know people trash talk about Roman Reigns, but that guy busts his tail every single week. He deserves the Universal Championship at this point. I don't think people would have such a problem with it if he wasn't given so many other championship runs that didn't really mean anything. Or if he wasn't the guaranteed face of the company. Look, we got the shock value. Brock won at Mania, and nobody saw that coming. We got the work shoot in the back where he throws the championship belt at Vince McMahon or whatever, and everybody's like, oh, he's on his way out of the company. Then we find out he signed a new contract. Then we find out he had the contract signed before Mania, and they were working everybody's nerves. And so now it's time for Roman Reigns to take the championship. And it's not a knock on Reigns, but I'm still not in favor of that. I'm not ready for that yet, not until Brock and Lashley meet in the ring. And I would not have a problem with Lashley being the one to unseat Brock as the champion. And Lashley hasn't been there long enough. I thought his debut on Raw, by the way, was god-awful. Absolutely terrible. You know, Elias, you've totally buried his character. He means nothing now. He had momentum in the Elimination Chamber. He really did. He had organic, like, Braun Strowman momentum. And they squashed it. Whether it's John Cena beating him up at Mania before he gets squashed by The Undertaker or getting completely obliterated by Bobby Lashley, what a waste of an incredible talent like Elias, who I swear is like the brother from another mother of the Macho Man. If you look at him side by side, craziness. The Intercontinental Championship Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match. Seth Rollins is the favorite, minus 137. The Miz, a plus 333. Finn Balor, plus 500. And Samoa Joe, a plus 600. Bobby Lashley has since been added to that match, but the odds makers have not released odds on Lashley. I'm going to assume they're going to probably put him in a plus 700 range just because it seems to tear down that way with the current betting odds. The match that I'm really curious about is the Greatest Royal Rumble itself. Now, by the way, they're going to have a United States Championship match. They're going to have the Tag Team Championship matches. The website that I'm going to is not listing all of them. Right now, the Usos are the underdogs to the Bludgeon Brothers. You know, Jeff Hardy is the favorite to retain the United States Championship. You know, I get all that those are there, but the people really want to know about this 50-man Royal Rumble. The odds-on favorite to win right now is Braun Strowman at plus 500. That does not surprise me. What surprises me is the people that follow him in the rankings. Bobby Lashley, the number two favorite to win at a plus 600. Daniel Bryan at plus 700. Rey Mysterio at plus 1,000. Shocking a little bit to me. Chris Jericho at plus 1,400. Elias is actually a plus 1,100. He's actually ahead of Jericho. Baron Corbin plus 1,600. The Great Khali, whose picture was added to the graphic, and now it looks like he'll be a part of the match, plus 1,600. Big Show making his return, plus 1,800. Kane, The Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, Triple H, all these other people way down the list. And my favorite one is at a plus 10,000. Is for Nicholas to come out and win the Greatest Royal Rumble. I'm just going to say this. Earlier in the week, people were comparing Nicholas winning the Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania to David Arquette winning the WCW World Championship in WCW. And I get the comparison. Two people who absolutely have no business having a championship. I am not a fan of the move to put the championship on Nicholas. I'm not at all. And I certainly wasn't a fan of putting the World Championship on David Arquette. But what I do find fascinating is the insane support that this kid's getting from the internet wrestling community. You guys love this kid. And I love it. Look, his Twitter handle is like going crazy right now. He's got thousands of followers on Twitter. And he's just a regular kid, you know? And I'm not saying he didn't have like a backstage in for that spot at WrestleMania. Of course he did. But he's still a regular kid. He still goes to school. His Twitter is a regular Twitter account. So I do think that that was a mess up because they missed an opportunity to really elevate another star. But at the same time, I guess when you're trying to decide what to do with the superstar shakeup, I guess it made sense a little bit just so you could take the titles off the bar and then have them go up for grabs elsewhere. So we'll have to see how that turns out. Few other tidbits for the week. One, Goldust. There was some confusion this week. It looked like he was getting ready to retire, offering his services to help, you know, the new generation of wrestlers. He has so much experience that he wants to impart on others. He's not retiring. He made that clear in a follow-up tweet, but man, he had people shaken for a moment there, wondering if this was the end of the Goldust character. I'm so thrilled that he embraced the character for this many years, and he's still giving back to the wrestling world. He's no spring chicken anymore, guys. Late 40s. I mean, he's really getting ready to wind it down and be done with this, but he has given so much and still can move so well in the ring. Heck, I'd rather see him get the tag team championship with Braun Strowman than Nicholas. Give him the greatest Royal Rumble before Nicholas. But not retiring yet. Another one, Dolph Ziggler, his contract status has been in the news all week because his contract, apparently the one that we discussed on one of the previous episodes that was never actually signed for a new deal, that $1.5 million it was rumored that he was signing for, apparently never happened. He's still not signed a new deal. His contract runs out this summer. So if they're going to sign him to a contract, they better get on it because you're running out of time. And now that you put him in a great tag team situation with Drew McIntyre, I think if you have McIntyre turn on him too soon, it kind of negates any of the impact they had when they debuted on Raw. So I would like for this team to last quite a while, and it gives Dolph Ziggler a way to be more successful on the brand, so they better get that contract done. And Tyrus, former Impact Wrestling and WWE star, has announced his departure from Impact Wrestling. Had creative differences. This is not the first time that he's leaving the promotion, but at least this time it sounds like he's leaving on good terms. He doesn't like some of the people in charge now, and I get it. Their creative is blowing my mind right now too, but I'd really like to see that guy settle down somewhere and just stay somewhere, make an impact, be a long-term star with a promotion. I think they missed the boat with him in WWE. I think they've missed the boat with him again in Impact Wrestling twice now. Go to Ring of Honor. Go over to New Japan. New Japan would appreciate a guy of his size. And the fact that he can actually move is all the more reason that somebody like him would be an asset to one of those brands. Finally, it is a somber note that we discuss the passing of two of wrestling's greatest from the past. I will start with the lesser known Paul Jones, who was an amazing wrestler, tag team champion multiple times over, NWA United States champion. He was really a great regional star for the NWA in the 70s and early 80s. Ended up having an injury that took him out of the squared circle, became a manager where he went on to excel as a manager, leading the Russians to the tag team championship, later leading the Warlord and the Barbarian as a tag team. He just had such a way about him. Had a great match with Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, that was on pay-per-view. Like, just a really great talent all around. Not just on the mic. He had ring skill. He had the psychology part down. He could cut a promo. He was just fantastic. And it's really a sad, sad week this week losing Paul Jones. But the one that everybody has been talking about is the passing of Bruno Sammartino. For the people who tune in to Twitter, my Twitter followers, I put up a conversation the other day, and it really was shooting from the heart. I have had the opportunity to meet Bruno, I want to say 1993, 94, somewhere in that time frame, right around when I was getting out of high school. And I don't know if I've ever met a more selfless and caring personality in the wrestling business. He took time to talk to me like I was his old best friend. He really was influential in such a short period of time. I didn't get a lot of time to talk to him, but every second I had was meaningful. And it wasn't just about wrestling. It was about life. He was a guy who, you know, he loved his family. He loved this business the way it was when he was in the business. He had a down period where he was not in necessarily the best terms with WWE. But at the end of the day, He wasn't unjustified in his frustrations with WWE at the time. He had some problems with their creative. He didn't like some of the raunchy storylines and all the theatrics. He thought that they needed to focus more on the actual wrestling. But at the end of the day, Bruno Sammartino was a man of principle. And those principles were great principles. I think that sometimes people look at some of the older wrestlers and they think they're just grumpy old guys who, you know, are past their prime and are having a trouble letting go. Bruno wasn't that guy. Bruno let go a long time ago. He wanted to impart knowledge on a new generation of people whenever he came in contact with them. All the outpouring of stories from all the wrestlers around the world on Twitter and other social media about Bruno Sammartino this week have been so positive because Bruno meant so much to so many. And I know that term gets thrown around a lot when someone passes away, but Bruno Sammartino really is that guy. He embodies, you know, class. He's just an amazing human being. And, you know, I put on Twitter that even the short amount of time that I spent with the guy, and I was a nobody back then, I was just a teenager, really meant a lot to me. And so it really is heartfelt emotion this week when you think about someone so legendary in the business, referred to often as the living legend, Bruno Sammartino. When I heard that he passed away, I mean, I thought he was going to live forever. I felt like he was just going to go on and on and on. And I kind of wish WWE had done more with him now that they were in good, on a good relation, good terms, or having a good relationship. I wish they had done more to get more of his knowledge imparted on the next generation of stars, have him be a guest trainer of some sort, or just give words of wisdom and historical reference points for the new up-and-coming talent. A lot of the talent nowadays don't know where this business came from. He's a person who could explain to you what it was like to go to Japan on a tour, wrestle some of the greats of all time, Andre the Giant, Giant Baba, and Antonio Inoki, and people of that nature. He wrestled them all. Stan Hansen, Pedro Morales, Stan Stasiak, Ivan Koloff, you know, when he broke his neck and took the championship, his long championship run, all those sellouts in Madison Square Garden. And all those accolades really don't mean anything compared to how amazing a human being he was. And I hope that when people reflect on Bruno Sammartino, that is what they remember. They remember the amazing class, the amazing person that Bruno Sammartino was. Was he a great wrestler? Of course he was. One of the greatest world champions of all time. But at the end of the day, so much more important than his world championship opportunities and his world championship victories was the type of character he had and what he meant to the business as a whole. You're talking about a guy who stopped wrestling. He came back for a short stint in the late 80s and has been out of the business for so long, and he's still so beloved. So heartfelt well wishes to his family. I hope they have peace of mind, and rest in peace, Bruno. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects that we use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to www.frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the page. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. Do not forget, next Saturday night, 6:30, Quakertown Farmers Market, the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance 38th Anniversary Show, World Heavyweight Championship will be crowned. Ken Andrews versus Leo Sweet. Check them out. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our other website at www.frolifeplanning.com for all of your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to sportsjunkies101.com for some of the latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. And keep your eye on our blog at frowrestling.com called In Fro's Corner, where we put up our editorial articles for you guys' reading pleasure. Give us some feedback, subscribe on YouTube, enable notifications, and join the Patreon family. We need you. We need you guys. And I want to co-host an episode with somebody. So get on board, people. Until next episode, take care. Have a great night.